Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, it is I, your host, Reverend Willie J. Vann Jr., bringing you greetings from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the Northeast Corridor to be specific. And we thank you for joining us with another talk of Blog Talk Radio discussion in association with Omega Ministry Group. We thank God for his leader, the Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and his wife, Tammy Storr. This evening, we just want to, again, just say thank you for coming. What we're going to do, as always, we're going to have a word of prayer. Because how many of you all know that prayer is one of our tonight we're gonna pray. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you, Lord God. Center our soul, calm our spirit down. Allow us so. We just want to invite you to a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord God. Again, we are so grateful, so thankful that you have decided to bless us. Now, Lord God, you walk with us throughout this day. Now, here we are, our bodies and minds are ready for the next time. Lord God, watch over us. Lord God, there's been drama going on in our political climate. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for those who are listening live and those who are listening to the rebroadcast. I pray blessings upon them. I pray that you will give them the right tools, the right physical way of saying we're going to serve you. Lord God, watch over us. We thank you. Lord God, now allow your word to flow through me. Lord God, allow your words to fly. I am nothing more than conduit for your ideas, for your purpose. So now, Lord God, grant us this time that we will honor you. And when we are finished, we want to be blessed, and we want to be a blessing. Again, Lord God, we just thank you. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, let me first tell you that Omega Ministry Group has several nights in which we have men and women who will share the word of God that will bring forth a word in season. On Monday nights, we have no other than Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr, his wife Tammy Storr, from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And then on Wednesday night, it's yours truly. On Thursday nights, we have Bishop George Flint, that comes on at 8 o'clock, and he's on, from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and then we have Brother Amos Joseph Collins, who comes on every Saturday at noon. So again, we just thank the Lord for you and pray that you will tune in to one of these mighty men and women of God. Let me also tell you, if you need to, or if God is leaning you to, if God is leaning you to share a word, please contact me, and we will see about opening up a slot for you to share what God has laid on your heart. So nevertheless, these are our times. These are the people who will share with you, and I pray that you'll tune in. Well, tonight's lesson plan is somewhat a continuation of last week. Last week, we studied and we talked about watch what you say. And this tonight, we want to talk about anger management. Talk about anger management. Again, let me start here. When I wonder what is it that you think about when you think of the word anger management in its general sense or natural sense. It would be being able that you'd be able to do and say what you want because of your size or because of your stature or because of one thing or another. And God is saying to us, that's not how my son acted. That's not how your Savior acted. And since he is the ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate measuring rod, we call ourselves those who practice Christianity, then we realize that it's time for us to stop getting into ourselves or stop being selfish and look at how we can be a blessing to someone else. I want to read unto your hearing as a launching pad tonight, James, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 1. James, chapter 4, starting at verse 1. It reads, I'm reading the NIV translation. It says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. If you kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hated towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend to the world becomes an enemy of God. Who do you think Scripture says within reason that the Spirit he calls to live in us envies intensity, but he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Let's try to dissect this word as much as possible. We are again looking at James, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 1. And excuse me. And when we look at this scripture, there we go. I'm sorry. When we look at this scripture, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, let's dissect this word and look at this. Verses 1 through 3, it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, James is the author of this this pericope, this book. And what he asks, he starts off with asking, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Now, what he's referring to is referring to the kingdom. Those of us who have proclaimed citizenship in relationship with God. And he asked the question, you know, why are you all fighting? What's going on? What's causing you to have these battles? What's causing you to have conflict and disputes? And then he, like most people would do, he just does not ask a question, but he also gives the answer. And the answer is in part, the second part of one. It says, don't think you want something, excuse me, verse 2, you want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. Let me read unto your hearing the New Century Translation. It says, you do not know where your fights and arguments come from. They come from selfish desires that war within you. You want things, but you do not have them. So you are ready to kill and are jealous over other people. But you still cannot get it what you want. So you argue and fight. You do not get what you want because you do not ask God. Let me ask you a question. How many times have you tried to compare yourself to someone else? How many times have you have found yourself in a situation where you see someone else with something that you desire? Now you have to ask yourself, where does that desire come from? Where is it that God is, where is that want or that need coming from? I mean, do you really need a new pair of shoes? Do you really need another coat? Do you really need another pair of sneakers? Now, before we go too far, please don't misquote me or get me to a place that you think that I would not care or we ought not live a prosperous life. And we ought to. We ought to live a life that is full of riches. And God said in his word that he will give us the desires of our heart if we walk upright. And see, James is talking to a group of people who are not really walking upright. When I came up through the era of the 80s, my teenager years and young adult, where in the 80s, it was about Reaganomics. It was all about me, myself, and I. And we found ourselves that no matter how much we had, we still wanted more. Now, not just myself, but others. You know, it wasn't good enough just to have one pair of jeans or one pair of tennis shoes, but you had to have that pair of tennis shoes in every color that it came. I remember hearing about people that would go into a store and they wouldn't get one pair of Levi's or one pair of jeans, or at that time we were wearing Lees, but they would go in and get every color of jeans. Now, that's okay. But when you get to the place that you are ready to bring destruction, or you're ready to bring conflict to someone else so that you can get the desires of your heart, then you need to check your desires. See, God is always requesting and always, and we'll read this a little bit longer, I mean later on, that God is always asking us to check the desires of our heart, the issues of our heart. Those are the things that we chase after. And when we find ourselves chasing after materialistic things, when we find ourselves chasing after those things that we think that somebody else has that we don't have, then we're not actually activating, or we're not actually walking in the will of God. I mean, think about it. Truly think about it. Think about your life. Think about the times where you saw somebody and you said, man, I like that coat. And then you decided that you was going to go and get that coat. Now, you go get the coat, but instead of using money that was set aside, I mean, that was just in the bank, you used money that was set aside for something else. I recently confessed, and I'm willing to confess again now, that there have been times in my life that I've made, and even recently, that I have made emotional purchases. I didn't really need it, but I saw it and I wanted it. Now, did it put me in a bind? Kinda. Could I have used the money for something else? Yeah, I could have. So God got on me and God spoke to me and talked to me about making these emotional purchases. And I thought about the fact that I bought this, and, you know, and let me just tell you now, you don't need to know what is it that I bought. So I don't want you to try to get on me when you see me with it. But I've said that there's been times that I thought about it, I really did not need it. And when I come and think about what is going on in the world today, when I think about the hunger issues, when I think about the issues of homelessness, when I think about the mental health and even medical health, physical health, there are so many other things that we could be doing, But we find ourselves requesting and asking God of things that we really don't need. That's really not, you know, it really doesn't amount to any good thing. And so that's why sometimes when we ask and we get upset because God doesn't give us what we ask for, just like every other good parent, he knows what's best for us. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life that I've asked my parents for something, and they told me no. And I caught an attitude. And before I could walk away or storm away, or they sat me down and said, Jay, this is why I feel and I know that you should not have this. And they explained to me. Now, sometimes God will do that. But then other times, God will not. And it is in those times that we need to have faith and enough trust in God to know that his will is the is a better will, or his way is a better way, a more efficient way. We need to get to the place that we trust in God enough to understand that when he says no, it's for our greater good. Now, when we are looking at our lives and we're thinking about the anger, or thinking about how do we manage this anger, James tells us, let's go back to verse 3. It says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that fellowship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend with the world becomes an enemy of God. Now, James talks about, first of all, the problem with our prayers. In verse 2 and 3, and we need to ask ourselves, do we talk to God at all? And when we talk to God, what do we talk about? And then when we are talking to God, do we only ask for our own selfish desires? Do we only seek for approval for things that we know that is not in the will of God? Our prayers will become more powerful once we allow our conversation and allow God to change our desires. And let me just say, I learned this a long time ago. Our prayer life is no more than what we're doing right now. We're having a conversation. We're having this discussion. And I know that there might be some people who would say, well, you can't just talk to God any old kind of way. And I believe that's true. But then there ought to be a reverence towards God, because he is God of everything. But I believe he loves me enough that when I get to a place in my life that I feel stuck, or I feel like things are not going right, or when I feel like I'm being mistreated, that I can come and talk to my Father, that I can come and share with him. And that's why when you hear most people will say, or most parents will try to say to their children, no matter what it is, come and talk to me. because if you come and talk to me, I might be able to assist you, or I will be able to assist you. So many of us, again, don't want to talk to God. We don't want to ask him, because we know that by asking him or talking to him, he just might say no. So in verse 4, he calls us when we act like we don't have any sense, when we are only asking God and treating him like some Santa Claus by making a list and talking to him about self-esteem. He calls us adulterous people. Now, we all understand what the word adulterous means. And adulterous really, in this sense, meaning a group of people or a person who has decided to go another way or to indulge or to have a relationship with something else instead of what we were intended to or what we said we were married to. Now, we understand that James is saying that we are adulterous people because we have now decided, instead of trying to do it God's way, we're going to do it our way. We're going to try to do it the world's way. And in reality, it's either this or that. It's either God's way or the world's way. It's really just that simple. And James says that when we decide to not do it God's way, then we are doing it the world's way, then we have decided to friendship or to connect with the world. And we understand that the world is corrupt. And in verse 4, it says, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend with the world becomes an enemy of God. We understand that when, by having friendship with the world, that means or that involves that we are connecting, that we are spending time with, that we are doing or having pleasure with the world instead of submitting to God. And I don't want to make it seem like submitting to God is wrong or that it's a bad thing or it's mean and it's boring. And I know a lot of people, that's their ideal of the church, or that's their ideal of having a relationship with God, that you now are stick in the mud, that you no longer want to enjoy life, that you know, it's stiff collar, you got to do this and do that. What I've come to realize is that the more I submit to God, the more free I am. I'm free to enjoy life the way that God wanted it to be. I'm free to enjoy life and spend and do things that I could never do on my own, by my own will or by my own strength. But what I realize is I can't be free until I first submit. Now, that's a weird concept. In order to be free, you got to submit. Well, the concept is, what are you submitting to? I was having a conversation this morning about dating and about marriage and, you know, women not enjoying or not liking that whole submit to women, to their husband, where it talks about why submit to your husband. And then it goes on, and it speaks about men love your wives as Christ loved the church. And the discussion I had was that a lot of people get caught up on the first part, especially women, not trying to dog y'all out, but y'all get caught up on that, I ain't submitted to no man. He put on his pants just like me, my shoes, and I ain't submitting. And why should I submit to a husband? And I said, my argument is always, well, the greater compromise, or the greatest sacrifice, is what the husband is supposed to do for the wife. I mean, Christ was loved the church, loved us so much that he was willing, that he died for our sins. And the reason why he died, so that we can be free. So the greatest sacrifice is not the wife submitting to the husband. The greatest sacrifice is the husband willing to die for his wife. To die, meaning dying to self, meaning physical death. But so many people get caught up in that, I don't want to submit. I know a lot of people don't want to go to church because they say that they don't want to submit to the pastor. Well, you submit to your supervisor every day at work. Why would you not submit to your spiritual father, your spiritual leader? And what I realized is that in order to be a good leader, you got to be a great follower. Now, a lot of people will say, I don't want to, and I'm not going to. Well, that's the world's way. And James here, again, in James chapter 4, at verse 4, he calls those type of people and adulterous people. And that they don't have friendship, and that they now have friendship with the world. Or the scripture said, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? And anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And then he further goes on to explain, don't you think scripture says without reason that the spirit he calls to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now in verse 5, James is referencing when he says, or do you think scripture says without reason that the spirit he calls to live in us envies intensely? That he is referencing going back to creation. See, one of the things that if you read too fast in Genesis, Adam decides to go off and disobey him, and Eve decide to disobey the commandments of God, and so they then become because of the knowledge that they now become knowledgeable about their condition. And their condition at that time is nakedness. And then God is going through the paradise, the garden, or paradise, whichever one you want to say. And they decide that they're going to hide themselves. Well, how are you going to hide yourself from the one who created you and the one who made everything around you? He goes and say, what's up, Adam? And it's the J. Van version. Willie J. Van version. Why are you hiding yourself? And he said, you know, because I'm naked. And God says, who told you you was naked? He said, well, you know, because I ate of the tree. Well, first because of that woman that you gave me, and we ate the fruit. And God says, you know, there is repercussions. There is a reaction. I told you all not to, but I still love you. I'm not going to destroy you. I'm just going to cast you out. And now what once was very easy will now become uneasy. You could go to the ground and whatever you want was there. Now you have to work and till the ground. And so there is a disconnect. And all God is wants from us is to be connected back to Him. See, we get caught up and try to put all these conditions, all these recommendations, all these suggestions on what we need to do. And all God is saying is trust and obey. As the old hymn writer would say, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. That's all God is requiring for us to do. God has given us the power and authority through the Holy Spirit to live a life where we can do and be free as long as we are still submitted to His will. But a lot of us want to do our own thing. A lot of us, or all of us, get to a place one time or another where we are upset, we get frustrated, and because of that, we feel like, you know, God doesn't love us. But yet, as it said in here, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When will you humble yourself? When will you submit to the will of God? When will you say, okay, God, it's not about what I want. I'm tired of fighting with you. I'm tired of bumping my head up against the wall. I give up. Whatever you need me to do, that's what I'm going to do. God is requiring us to live a life of submission to Him. But yet, so many of us are choosing our own way. I ask you, I challenge you tonight. Give in. Give up and give in. Submit to the will of God. Submit to what God is challenging you to do. Live a life that is submissive to His will. I know it might be challenging, but the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And God is never going to give you or put you in a position that you are not able to stand or withstand. Remember, we have power. We have authority. Jesus even says that we have the same power that he has, the same authority that he has. He is our brother. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. But in the eyes of God, he is our brother. We are children. We are God's children. So it comes a time that we're going to have to start acting like we're God's children. I know we all have those desires. We all have those wants. We all think we have those needs. But before the next time you decide to activate be active or apply or chase or go after, take a pause and ask God, God, is this pleasing to you? Is this what you want? My will, is this your will? I don't want to have this and be outside of your will. I don't want to have that and be disrespectful to who you are in my life. They used to tell us when we were crossing the street, when we got to the corner or when we got to the street, we used to have to stop, look, and listen. We have to stop at the street side, or at the street. We have to look, and then we also have to listen to see if there was any traffic. Maybe it's time for us to do that. Maybe it's time for us to stop acting on all of our impulses and listen to what God is saying to us. Or look to see if this is the will of God and then listen for the voice of God. We thank you, Lord God, for this time, this word that has come forth. We pray that it will be a blessing to you. Lord God, I pray that you will always get the honor by whatever I say. Lord God, it's not about my will, but it's about your will. I pray that tonight's word will challenge someone, that you will no longer call them a adulteress, that you will not look at them as outsiders, but that you will be able to look at them and say, well done, that good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on over and take your rest. But before we even get to that place, that we'll be able to be blessed. And not just be blessed for our sake, but be blessed to be a blessing to someone else. Lord God, our lives are in your hands. Make us and mold us into the image that you will want us to be. Lord God, keep us until we are able to share again. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior, his name is Jesus the Christ, we say amen. Well, we praise God for all of those who are listening again live. What we want to do, we have a couple of minutes. We always want to have take questions. If you have a question, if you have a comment, you can press 1 on your phone. This is always interactive. All mics are muted until you acknowledge that you would like to speak, and then I only have the capability to do that. But if you have a comment, if you have a question, if you agree with what I said, if you don't agree with what I said, You can press 1 on your phone, and I will be able to see that in my queue. For those who are listening to the rebroadcast of this, you can always get in contact with me through my email. Send me questions that way at jvan91@yahoo.com. Again, J-A-Y, V as in victory, A-N-N, 91@yahoo.com. I will answer all questions. I will respond. So is there a question or comment? I praise God for being at a church that my bishop does this. But long before I saw him doing it, I was doing it, and I always thought that wouldn't that be great to be able to have a conversation, be able to go to a worship experience, and then at the end of service, if I have a question, be able to ask. So we always want to leave time for someone. Okay, if not, then we want to, again, on Monday nights, you can call into the same number and listen to good Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, him and his wife, Tammy Storr. On Wednesday night, it's yours truly, Elder Willie J. Van Jr. On Thursday night, from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, Bishop George Flint. And then on Saturdays, from noon to 1, Brother Amos Joseph Collins will share a word with you. If you have a desire to allow God to use you to share a word, or if you just want to have a conversation, please get in contact with me. And if you feel God is pulling you and tugging on you to be an ambassador for Him, we can make space and room for you to share a word or whatever God has laid on your heart. You can send me an email at jvan91@yahoo.com, and I will definitely connect you with the necessary parties. I see we have a caller who would like to make a comment. Your last four numbers are 1414.
Good evening, Reverend J. Van. This is Minister Amos Collins. And once again, you got the time, Mr.
Joseph Collins.
It's Saturday at 1.
Oh, okay. I apologize. Thank you, sir. I appreciate y'all. Y'all heard it from the man himself. It's at from 1 to 2. Minister Amos Joseph Collins is a blessed man of God, mighty man of God, and we thank God for him sharing. But he's on not at noon. You'll be calling in too early. Call an hour later. Call at 1 o'clock.
Yes, and this month our focus is on mothers. So this month we're going to be talking about mothers. And all of next month, we're going to talk about us dads. So, Joe.
Right. Amen, 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 amen. Well, we praise God for you, man. And as always, we thank the Lord for Brother Minister Collins out of the Ohio area. Not too far from where I went to school at Wilberforce. We thank God for him and how God is going to use him all this month talking about mothers, and all of next month talking about mothers. Let me just say this before we depart. Happy Mother's Day coming up, and I pray that even if you are not a mother biologically, but if you act in a mother capacity, then I pray that blessings will fall upon you and that God will grant you the desires of your heart that you will be honored this weekend, and that God will share with you the many things that he has, the love that or at least a portion of love that you've given to others. So we thank you. We praise God for you. And we understand, as the songwriter, Brother James Brown would say, it's a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a mother. So we thank God for you. We thank God for all the mothers. And again, we just appreciate you calling in this evening. We pray that, again, something that has been said, you can call in again on Monday nights from 8 to 9. Reverend Dr. Jesse Store and Sister Tammy Store, yours truly, on Wednesday night from 8:30 to 9:30. On 8 o'clock on Thursday night from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, Bishop George Flint. And then you just heard from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, Minister Amos Collins. We thank God for all of these people, and we praise God for you. Again, let me just pray. Let me just play this song. That's not what God wants me to do. Let me. This is a song. Well, as always, we pray blessings. You all have a blessed week. And until next Wednesday, peace and love. Reverend Willie J. Van Jr.
I know I walked away, but I